Would you all stand, please, with your Bible? I remember the first time that I was able to preach a couple years ago, and I said, open up your Bibles, and everybody just popped up. I didn't know what was going on, but I praise God for it. I praise God for you. You got your Bible. So I'm going to ask you that as I'm praying, you also pray. Get your mind right. Get your heart right. Ask God to speak to us through His Word. I can't speak to you, but God can. Amen. So just pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, I praise you, God, for who you are. God, and I acknowledge you that I need you. We need you, Father. Lord, forgive me of all my sins as I open up your word, God. Allow me to speak your truth with power and boldness, God. And we give you all the honor and glory, God. And we just want to say that we love you and we need you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So to kind of keep everybody nice and warm, we've got a lot of scripture, so you'll be flipping through your Bibles quite often. The first couple passages, turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and Romans chapter 5. John 16 and Romans chapter 5. Ever since, about since March, I've noticed a lot of people having certain train of thought. And the thought or the question that people would say is, what if? And their mind would go, what if this happens or what if that happens? And I've noticed that even in my mind, we think of the what ifs. What if this doesn't go the way that I want it? Or what if this bad thing happens? But today I want to be able to turn, with the help of the Lord, turn our what ifs into even ifs. Turning our what ifs into even if. As I was studying for this, I contacted several different people and asked their opinion and what they have been thinking. And I've been listening to people. Anybody that knows me, I'm a people watcher. I'm that kind of person that likes to just sit and watch people and just see conversations. I'm not nosy, but I just like to watch people and hear conversations. And so I asked the youth even, what are some what ifs that you've had in the past year? And some of theirs was, what if this, meaning the COVID, never goes away? What if I don't get to cheer this year because of the COVID? What if I don't get into the college I want? What if I missed an opportunity to do what God wanted me to do? Some other people was, well, what if I get this virus? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my income? What if my family member gets sick? All these what ifs. And what happens is, we begin to have these what-if questions and these thoughts, and they kind of begin to overtake our mind. Because our mind always goes to the extreme, right? So the question is, are Christians exempt from different challenges in life? Well, of course, the answer is no, but let's go to God's Word. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it says this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Sounds great, right? In Him we'll have peace. But He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Jesus mentions that you will have tribulation. So He's talking to His disciples. So Him mentioning it, meaning that it will happen, our tribulations. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Some will say, well, in John, he's talking to the disciples and they're going through different things. But no, let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 says this, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Once again, he's speaking about things, tribulations, issues, challenges. So by him mentioning it, meaning we will see those different things. Maybe go in your mind and think, what are some what ifs that you've had in your thought process? What are some what ifs? Are we exempt from the what ifs happening in our life? That's one of the biggest fears is, what if that most extreme what if happens? What if that what if is, what if my family gets sick and then it happens? Fear comes on us. Our mind goes to that. So we know that based on the Word of God, that we will have tribulations and we will have challenges in our life, even as a Christian. There's these false teachings of if you give your life to God through Christ, everything will be great. That's false. God didn't promise us a perfect, free life with no challenges. But there's people that come out and say, man, if you just give your heart to God through Christ, everything will be great. No. The Bible's clear that we will face those different challenges. In Psalms 55:22, it tells us to cast what? Your burdens. So once again, if he's mentioning it, that means they're true. They're legit. They're real. And ever since, I know since March when all this happened, a lot of what ifs. What if? The bottom line is, guys, we live in a fallen world with problems, and we have problems also. We have issues also. We have those things that might end up being that what if, and they might end up happening. But today, through God's help, I want you to change your mind to that what if mindset to the even if mindset. No matter if it does happen, even if, and we'll go through the Word of God and we'll look at it. So, how do we react to the what ifs? Fear? Desperation? Looking for alternatives? How many of us, we have a what if and we don't want it to happen, so we try to get our hands on it and try to make it happen the way we want to happen? We look for alternatives. Nobody wants to have that extreme what if to happen. And so fear, desperation, and then us seeking alternatives. And whenever I was studying and looking through this, I saw in the Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. This is someone who sought an alternative. Genesis chapter 16. This is a story where God had given a promise and it wasn't happening in their time, and so they took an alternative. We see in Genesis chapter 16, it says, now Sarah, verse number 1, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Verse 4, and he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do with her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So, God had given them a promise. You will conceive a child. Just things wasn't happening on their timetable. And so what they did was they sought an alternative. Abram had a baby with the handmaid. After God had already promised that he would give them a child. They would conceive. Abraham and Sarah would conceive a child. But things wasn't going on their timetable. And I don't want to put thoughts in their head, but I can only imagine that, man, what if this is not going to happen? I mean, I know God had promised me, but this isn't happening on my timetable. What if it doesn't happen? And they begin to have fear, desperation, seeking alternatives because they're what if. What if it's not going to happen? And they sought an alternative. Why is that a big deal? Because even to this day, there is conflict. Because of Abraham's sin with Hagar, it resulted in centuries of bloodshed and war between the Jews and the Arabs because they were enemies because of this. So we see that in this story that they did not listen. God said, I will give you a child. Listen to me. I will give you a child. But it wasn't on their timetable, and maybe their mind was going to the what ifs, so they went and saw an alternative. Listen to me. If God says it, God will be faithful to get you through it, and God will be faithful in it. If God told them, I will give you a child, God will always keep his promises. But so many times when our what ifs, we want to get a step ahead of God, two steps ahead of God, because it's not happening. What if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't work out? And we begin to get desperate. Fear. And sometimes we seek, as they did, an alternative. I mean, I'll fix it. I'll make it happen. And we see that through that, there was a consequence. The Jews and the Arabs going at it. Listen, if God, he's told us through his word, what are some promises? I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So that means in your what ifs, he's there with you. He tells us to cast our burdens on him. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares for you. So he tells us all these things. But so many times, man, those what ifs. What ifs. So we see in this, they went ahead. And through that sin, we see the consequences of it. So how do we, as Christians, overcome the what ifs? How do we overcome them? Well, the first thing we must do, we must invest. We invest in prayer. We invest in praise. We invest in fasting. We invest these things to unlock the power to overcome those what-if situations. Turn to Psalms 34:4. I want you guys to see this. Psalms 34:4. We invest. Psalms 34:4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So we invest, and it says that when we seek after him, he heard me, and he'll deliver you from all those fearful what ifs. We invest, we also seek. Turn to Jeremiah 1:4. I know I told you we got a lot of scripture, but I want you guys to see it. I want you guys to see it. We seek his plan or guidance, and we follow it. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 8. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 8 says, Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I obtained thee a prophet unto all nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I commanded thee, thou shalt speak. Verse number 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So we invest and we seek to understand that God has a plan for your life. That's the one thing we've got to understand. God has a plan for your life. So when we invest in praise, we invest in prayer, and we invest in fasting, we seek the plan that God has for our life. To understand that, as he was talking to Jeremiah, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. So, when we're having those what if moments and we're thinking about the extreme what if, understand that God has a plan for you in your life. And when we have those, we invest in those things and we seek God for the guidance in the plan that he has for us. Also, we invest, we seek, and we also have to have faith. Turn to Psalms 46:1. We have to have faith in believing in who God says he is. Okay? Having faith and believing in who God says that he is. Psalms 46:1. Says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So, our faith in believing who God says he is. God says, the Word of God says that he is a refuge, a place of shelter. He is strength. And then he's also a very present help. That means God is not, as he says, he doesn't leave you or forsake you. That means God is present to help you. He's available to help you. And in these times of what if this happened, what if that happens, we've got to have faith in believing who God says he is. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our present helper at any moment that you need him. He is all those things. But do we believe that? That he is who he says he is. So, when we're facing those what ifs, we can also face those what ifs with 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Some of you may know this. It says, for God. Now, who is God? Is he that God that's our refuge? He's that God that's our strength? He's that God that is our very present helper? So that's our God. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This word fear means timidness, fearfulness, cowardness. So he tells us now, go back to Psalms. Remember, he's that God that's our strength. He's that God that's our refuge. That's our God. He says that God, our God, hasn't given us the spirit of being afraid, of being timid, of being a coward. He hasn't given us that, but he has given us the spirit of power. This word power means force or ability. He gives us that. And then of love, that means affection, goodwill, or love. So he's given us the force or the ability and the affection and the love. And then also, this word sound mind means self-control or discipline. So he gives us the self-control and the discipline to be able to go through those what ifs. Man, what if this bad thing happens? Or what if that thing happens? Well, hold on. God's our refuge. God's our strength. God's our present help in time of trouble. That's my God. That's him. So when we have those what ifs, we can say, oh,
He's given us the ability, the power. He's given us the love, the spirit of love. He's given us the sound mind. He's given us all those things. So you see, it's amazing that God gives us His Word to fight off all of our nonsense sometimes. Right? I'm going to tell you, man, and I'll speak for myself and not for you, but I have some nonsense sometimes. I think of some things and I'm like, what's wrong with you? But God's able, He's given us. But the question is that your God? Is He the one that is of strength, of power? Is He that sheltering place? You see, we're able to say it. But when those what ifs come and those mind things come, sometimes it's hard. But God's given us His Word. And so, thinking about the what ifs of life, we have the assurance that even if they happen, God will still be with me. And I know maybe some of y'all, maybe your mind has already went ahead of me a little bit. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. This is someone or a group of people that the worst possible what if, they could have lost their life. But they got to a point that they said, man, even if, it doesn't matter. Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. It says in Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and cymbal, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye not worship, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So we see in this their worst case. What if they throw me in the fire? What if? And they said, man, I'm not careful to answer you. If you throw me in the fire, so be it. If not, God is able. But if He doesn't do it, it's all good. Because I'm still not going to bow down to you. I'm going to worship the true living God. Their extreme what if was them losing their life. But they had got to a mindset of, man, even if, it's all good. It doesn't matter. Have we gotten to that point in our life? I struggle with that. I struggle with getting to the point of saying, man, whatever, Lord, even if my most extreme what if happens. But see, they was to the point that said, man, it doesn't matter. If God chooses to deliver me, that's great. If God doesn't deliver me, that's great too. Either way, I'm okay. They had taken that what if to an even if. An even if. So as we have run in our minds in the past year, the past month, and all those, man, what if this happens? And these are all real. What if I lose my job? What if I have a wayward kid that never comes back? Or what if I got a kid that's doing wrong? What if I lose all my income? What if I get sick? What if a family member dies? All these what ifs. Can we get to that point that says, Even if, Lord, you're still God. You're still good. You're still my refuge. You're still my strength. You're still full of love. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. You're still my God. And I know that you're my present help. So even if, it's okay, God. It's okay. Even if. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. I know I told you got a lot of scripture, but I want you guys and girls to see this for your own, because it's going to help you. Maybe you don't have a what if right now, but you will. You will. Habakkuk chapter 3. It says in verse 17 through 19. Habakkuk pleaded with God to save his people. He saw the evil. He pleaded for it. But he closes this with an even if. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Although all these things, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. So he says, even if, he says, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. He pleaded. He wanted the people to be saved, and he saw the evil. He wanted the people to be saved. But he said, even if these things don't happen, yet I will rejoice. Then he goes on to say, I will joy in what? The God of my salvation. We've established who God says he is. He's the refuge. He's the strength. He's the high tower. He's all these things. So he says, I will rejoice and I will have joy in God. And then he goes on to say again, the Lord God is my strength. He even tells us, he will make me to walk upon high places. Amen. Almost getting above everything. Getting above it. You see, I see three things in here that Habakkuk did. You know what he did? He committed to praising God regardless of circumstances. Did you hear that? He commits to praising God regardless of circumstances. And then he praises God specifically for salvation. He's saying God not only could save, but God is salvation. And something that's pretty interesting, and I'll just throw this out here to you. You can run with it. The title, God of My Salvation, is used 7 times in the Old Testament. And the number 7 is always, not always, but a lot of times being associated with something being finished or complete. So he states, God of my salvation, and this phrase is used 7 times in the Old Testament, representing something completed or finished. Yes. Do you know Jesus Christ, he proclaimed, it is finished. When God saved you, he saved you. The work was done, praise God. Is God the God of your salvation? We've looked at several different things about the what ifs. Looking at what the Bible says God is. We saw a story in the Bible where someone went ahead of God and the consequences of that. And then we saw in the Bible about the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, how they even had the mindset of even if. So today, where is our mind at? Are we able to say, Lord, no matter what, you're still good? Or do you struggle like me sometimes and question and don't know what's going on or why this? We've got to take our mind back to who God is. So if God's present and God's our strength, God is our salvation. So when those what if moments happen in life and our mind goes crazy, remember, He gave us the spirit of a sound mind, of power, and of love. He's given us all those things. He didn't give us the spirit of fear. So when those fearful thoughts come in your head, it's not of God. It's not God trying to put fear in you. It's us. It's things that are going on. And we run that little thing in our head until something that was this big all of a sudden becomes huge. Today we can turn our what-if mindset to an even-if mindset. And as I was looking and studying and thinking and praying, I thought about what could possibly be the worst what-if. And I said, man, what if someone is here this morning and they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? I thought, what if? What if they hear it? And I thought, well, what if they don't accept it? But then I thought, but what if they do accept it? I'm here to tell you this morning that if you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are separated from God. You have no fellowship with God. We have sinful man. We have a holy God. And there's no way to get back to God on your own. But Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life and died a death on the cross for me and for you. And if we accept what He did, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That could be you. So I'm asking you today, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, you'll know it. If He's drawing you, praise God. If you'll confess Him as Lord and believe, God will save you through Jesus Christ. It's not of works. Why? Because we start boasting about it. It's not about that. It's about Him. It's about realizing who we are, who you are as a sinner, and saying, man, I can't get back to God. But see, Jesus Christ is that way back to God. He bridged that gap that your works, that you could not do. And if you put your faith and trust in Him, you can be in fellowship with God. And I thought about just listening to people. There's a lot of fear, anxiety, worry with the what if. Man, God wants to help you today. God wants to help you this morning. You came here for a reason, and God is speaking to you. God wants to take you from the mindset of what if to even if. To even if. If we'd all stand, please. This is your time. This is your time to do business with God. I don't know how God talks to your heart. It can be something different. But if you want prayer, I'm here. Pastor Mike is there. You want us to pray with you. Then also, man, woman, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, hey, we can show you what the Bible says. We want to help you. Child of God, we want to help you too. We want to pray with you. We want to praise God with you. You can do it at your seat. You can do it up here. But however God leads, just listen to Him.